Victoria Ingram, smiling to herself, drove down Pacific Coast Highway, a scarf trailing behind her, floating in the wind, taking a long, sexy, deep drag on her cigarette, looking incredibly hot in a shiny black pencil skirt, high heels, and a tight cardigan. To the trained eye, Victoria would almost certainly be defined as a narcissist. Others might call her femme fatale, or as her ex-husband, currently recovering from a bout of stomach ulcers, emaciated and sans nearly $1 million from his portfolio, would say, and is known to say, she's a heartless bag of bones pretending to be human. Victoria tends to leave a trail of broken men and empty bank accounts wherever she may go. Long raven hair, alabaster skin, full sexy red lips, angelic face, soft sweet voice, and a perfectly hot, tight little bod. She is the ideal combination of danger, sugary sweetness, and curves. Now, although all of the above could certainly be deemed a lethal combination, it's her mind that is the most dangerous asset of all. As beautiful as she is, smarter than she is beautiful, and as rich as she is smart. Though this is a well-kept secret, as her usual line is that she's flat, broke, busted, and in need of funding. The truth of the matter is, and always will be, there is simply not enough money in the world to feed her greed. She is a bottomless pit, an insatiable desire for more of everything. Victoria does have some odd habits. She collects mirrors. Yeah, you heard me. Mirrors, oh strange, but true. And as one of her many ex-husbands puts it,
that woman never liked fucking unless she was fucking a mirror.
She can only achieve orgasm when gazing at her own image. Victoria toying with her pink pussy, slapping her own ass, and pouting in the mirror. During her mirror masturbation sessions, she almost seems to be under the influence of some sort of substance. She is locked in hypnotic trance, a trance that would seem unbreakable. Eyes glazed over, staring, lids half-closed, sexy, sleepy, droopy, half-lidded eyes. Her hands running up and down her perfect body, legs wide open, pussy pink, wet, hot. Why, it's enough to make a growing man cry. Longing to be part of that sexy, steamy world, she could be called the world's most sexy, beautiful, and ruthless cuckoldress, cuckolding men with her own image as they stand silently watching her, slowly masturbating their cocks, entering a dark, sensual world of erotic trance, mind-fucked, as she touches herself, rolling her hips and teasing herself to the edge and then back again. Today, however, Victoria is all business as she makes her way to a small but exclusive club in Malibu for a date, a rather important date, with yet another trust fund baby. Josh. Now, for a rich guy born to money, Josh is actually a pretty decent fellow. He's so nice that people often forget that he has more money than he knows what to do with. Even better, he's not hard to look at. He's one of Southern California's most sought-after dates, rich, charming, perpetual bachelor, and he is about to be taken off of the market. Now, Josh is already seated in a booth at the club, waiting, as Victoria's always fashionably late. Watching the Pacific Ocean as the tide rolls in, recedes, and rolls in again, slowly opening and closing a box, a beautiful blue Tiffany box wrapped in crisp white ribbon. Inside the box, an exquisite blue diamond. Silent, lost in his own thoughts, imagining the day that the two of them would be man and wife, the smell of the ocean lingering in the air, the waves crashing against the rocks. Somehow it seemed an ideal day to propose. The two were inseparable. Josh felt like the luckiest man in the entire universe. The two never fought. Now, after the high fashion model types he usually dated, real high maintenance types, she was a real breath of fresh air. So kind, easygoing. There was only one exception, one day, a strange day indeed. They were going out one Friday night and Josh arrived early for their date. He was in a good mood, relaxed and at ease. He sat on her comfortable couch as she put on the finishing touches of makeup for their night out. Bored, he looked around the room and noted that a few books were askew on her bookshelf. Now, Victoria, normally fastidiously clean with everything in its place and a place for everything, well, he found himself in front of the bookshelf, arranging the books in a neat little pile for her. When he glanced at the books, he had assumed they were Bibles and religious study guides. However, on closer inspection, that wasn't the case. Most of the books were written in a language he didn't understand. It looked like a very old language. The books themselves seemed old, had a musky smell to them, even ancient. A bit apprehensive, he opened one of the books. Carefully flipping through the pages of the parchment paper, he found an illustration of a woman who looked very much like, and suddenly she was behind him, hissing. "Close the book now," she exclaimed. Her face was contorted, body tense. She was poised for action. But it was her eyes that took him off guard. Terrifying black eyes, not the usual blue-green. She held him in an unforgettable gaze that he could simply not break. "I am sorry," he stammered. "I just wanted to help." Feeling confused, dizzy, terrified even, he stumbled back to the couch, backwards, unable to break eye contact, into an end table, hearing a thud as a lamp crashed to the floor, beads of sweat on his brow, falling onto the couch, heart racing helpless. The small pendant that she always wore around her neck drew his eyes down, and the moment was broken. And then she was once again the sweet, lovely, unique creature who had captivated him from the very start. She explained the books were very old, irreplaceable. He chalked it up to the heat. That year was a hot, humid Indian summer. She brought him cold, sweet tea, dropping nerve medicine from an old-fashioned blue vial into his tea. She was always using her vials for what ailed him. And they almost always helped. Born and raised in Louisiana, she often used herbs and natural remedies. It was, of course, part of her charm. Thus, he sipped his sweet tea, and the calming elixir took effect. All was forgotten. Well, almost. Every now and then, that netherland between awareness and slumber, the image he saw in the book came back to haunt him. It was an image he could not quite shake. The woman in the illustration was beautiful to be true, but there was something vaguely unsettling about her appearance. Though he could not recall precisely what, all this and more crossed his mind that day. As he waited, nervous about proposing, it wasn't long before she arrived, whispering millimeters from his ear, "Peekaboo!" And he melted, as many others had done before him. Victoria, a retro pinup queen vision, sweetness, sex, smiles. One look at her, and any reservations he may have had, however slight, about proposing, dissipated. How could he possibly know that over the years, dozens of men had been ruined, bank accounts destroyed, and in the years to come, more would meet the very same fate? Victoria engaged in ruinous behaviors with a cold, calm determination that might make a green beret break out in a sweat. They enjoyed their meal, and Josh proposed. Everyone looked on, happy for the attractive young couple. Perhaps true love did exist in this cynical world in which we reside. There was nothing to tell them that Victoria was 10 years his senior, and this was hardly her first time at the rodeo, and no one noted the devious smile on her face as she fixed her lipstick. It only was there for a second, and then it was gone. Afterwards, Josh's large, meaty cock was bursting at the seams of his pants, leaking pre-cum, and generally an embarrassment to Josh, who didn't want to stand up with a large, inappropriate bulge in his pants. It just wasn't that sort of occasion. Victoria was all smiles. A transformation of sorts seemed to occur. The normally shy, reserved Victoria removed her patent leather pumps under the table and placed a nylon-clad foot smack dab in the middle of Josh's lap, teasing him with her rather adept toes. Aroused, confused, and surprised at her suddenly sexually aggressive behavior, admiring the engagement ring, surely a woman ecstatic in love.
Victoria had always been shy about matters of a sexual nature, telling him she wasn't ready, as she was a young widow who only had sex with her husband. He'd been her one only. Oh yes, she loved Josh, but she just wasn't ready. Thus the handsome young hung stud, used to having his way with women, patiently waited until such a point in which Victoria was ready for sexual intimacy. As he looked across the table at Victoria, she smiled sweetly, but he was a little taken back. There was a new look in her eyes. Her face was somehow transformed. He told himself she was just happy, relaxed. After all, he popped the question, and she'd come out of her shell. But in truth, things were about to get pretty trippy weird. Suddenly, out of nowhere, she said, "Sugar, I want to be alone with you. May we leave?" Batting her impossibly long eyelashes, inviting her lower lip, Shuri said, hoping, finally, she was gonna open up. After all, he proposed. When they got outside of the restaurant, she told him breathlessly, her face happy. She didn't want a fancy wedding. She wanted to get married right then and there. And she begged with him to drive to Vegas. The intensity of her desire was simply too great. She wanted to be intimate with him, but she wanted to make sure that everything was as it should be. And she just couldn't wait. She was burning with desire. Before he knew it, they were on their way to Vegas, driving through the desert as fast as they could. Victoria telling him to hurry as he pressed the accelerator. The desert landscape speeding by. It was night, the air crisp, clean, the smell of sage, fall-like. She told him to drive even faster, to hurry. And he pressed his car even further. Suddenly, a storm blew in unexpectedly. Lightning bolts appeared out of nowhere. She told him, keep on driving. The wind howled. Both were drenched. Victoria saying, push on through. I want to get to Vegas. And he did, the wind swirling around them. He had a deep, intense desire to fuck her. Such all he could think of. Thoughts consumed him. On he drove, his mind spinning. The ceremony was brief and remarkable. And before he knew it, he was carrying her over the threshold into an elegant room with a panoramic view of the city. He picked her up and walked with great care to a large bed. Silk sheets and varying hues of silver, the finest of everything, kissing her on the lips, running his hands down her body, exploring every perfect fuckable curve and inch, his cock aching for release, straining against the expensive linen of his tuxedo. Her old-fashioned gown made her look like a large, beautiful doll, big blue eyes. Buttons flying, greedily, hungrily, taking his cock in her hands. She licks her lips in anticipation, mouth engulfing him, moans of pleasure as they begin to merge into oneness. Oh, he'd waited for this moment, his hands encircling her tiny little waist, squeezing her ass, the taste of her pussy, sniffing every part of her, mentally mapping out every detail of her body, ravenous for more. Perfect from alabaster breasts down to her pink waiting pussy, long shapely legs, delicately arched feet, perfect apple ass, as if on cue flipping around on her back, rising to her knees, then on her stomach and the view of her ass, even better than the view from the front, unbelievably so, so hot, so tight, so slick, so smooth. So good, so nasty. Her moans, husky, sweet voice. Oh, she was just getting started. She's worth the wait, so worth the wait. He has to force himself to slow down. He's already on the verge of bursting a hot, sticky load into her slick, beautiful tightness, rapture. She spreads her legs wide open, flipping around on her back, and that's when the change occurred. Just as he starts to take her, she takes him. He's out of control, for the first time in his life, out of control, terrifyingly so. On his back, riding him, owning him with each position, absolute, unequivocal control, pulling him into her, and it becomes a contest of who will give first, a contest of will. It seems like hours of hard, back scratching, fucking, and suddenly the neon lights of Vegas begin to fade as the sun appears on the horizon, illuminating the room, a room filled with mirrors. And it all stops as she gazes in her own reflection, her face filling with lust. And before he knows it, she's making love to her own image. So wrong, so arousing, their honeymoon. It's not right. It's like he doesn't even exist. Falling into the mirrors in love with her own reflection. rubbing herself hands up and down her ass, nasty, dirty, ass-spreading positions in front of the mirror, reflected all throughout the room. The best porn any man could hope to see. Mixed emotions, lust, regret, sadness, arousal. Josh on the bed, head in his hands, cock throbbing. Oh, sweet, lust-filled agony. Victoria masturbating, her now red, open pussy furiously, looking impossibly beautiful, irresistible. He reaches for her, only to be tossed away. She tosses him nearly off the bed with incredible power. Rejected, he pleads with her, confused, frightened. Wanting to be near her, want overwhelms him, his mind reeling. And suddenly the page from the book comes back to him, enters his memory, and he has a solution. Sweet resolution, hearing his own voice speak. He says the only words in the book that were English. They come back to him now in a flood. I am your reflection, he says, in desperation. Ah, those magic words. Magical. Arousal deepening. Oh, now he can sit. Surely she must have put on this show for him. Oh, yes, of course, the mirrors, the solo masturbation, dirty hot poses, it all had to be for him, right? And she makes delicious eye contact. It's time, she says. Oh, and is he ready? He reaches down to stroke himself in anticipation. And he's limp. There's no erection. Ah, but he can get beyond this. It's a new one, but he carries on. He'll be up and hard in no time, fumbling around, attempting to stroke himself. Panic sets in. Absolute terror. Primal fear. Cold sweat. His penis is gone. There must be some viable explanation, but nope, it's gone. And he looks at Victoria in desperation, looks her up and down. And as he stares, in place of a soft, waiting pussy, he sees a large, erect cock. She pushes him on the bed. He's as light as a feather. The shrewd businessman, all-around nice guy, ladies' man, bored with a silver spoon in his mouth, is about to be spoon-fed, something he hadn't planned on. Taken and penetrated by the ultimate, unexpected surprise. Rolled over onto his stomach, large, throbbing cock slides inside of his body. Pain engulfs him, provoking him to fight back. It's no use. She's more powerful than he is. She is simply all-powerful. And after a while, as his wife, or rather this unknown beautiful creature, pumps deeper and deeper, he finds himself falling deeper and deeper in love, experiencing sexual pleasure on an unprecedented level, moaning like a bitch, begging for more, which she's happy to give. Hard, deep thrust. And he's on that edge, an edge he never knew existed. And as if she reads his mind, expertly thrusting her magnificent cock into his open asshole, harder, teasing that special place that makes men lose control as he hovers in that strange world that he now inhabits between male and female, screaming, begging, pleading, but that just isn't enough to satisfy her, for nothing ever is. His body quivering beyond shame, beyond reason. And suddenly, she pulls out an antique makeup mirror and lipstick, pulling his head up by the hair, forcing him to face himself in the mirror.
commanding him to stare, and she does as she continues to ride him, reaching around, applying lipstick to his lips from one of her special vials. Shame and humiliation merge with intense arousal as he stares in the mirror at his own image. Lipstick lips fucked up the ass and loving every minute of it. Tell me you want all of me, she says, and happily he does as told. Losing all control, he experiences a full anal orgasm. His first orgasm without a penis, and drops to his stomach, exhausted, spent. He remains on his stomach as she strokes her long cock, panting, breathing hard. Angry at this point, he attempts to push her away, but it's no use. Demanding, open your mouth, and resigned he does, face fucked hard for what seems like an absolute eternity. And he finds himself wanting her more, places between his legs, waking up, arousal. He wants to feel her deep inside his pussy. His mouth wide, wider for her, and it comes hot, salty, monstrous load in his mouth as her moans fill the room with pleasure. Moans of pleasure. Out of the blue, anger overwhelms him. You bitch! What the fuck did you do to me, bitch? He screams. As she emerges from the bathroom looking impossibly beautiful, younger, and even more energetic than before. Suddenly he's afraid. Terror goes to fear. Smiling sweetly, she picks up the compact and says, spread your legs, and toys with him, and it feels good. She holds the mirror in a manner in which it reflects all of him, and he realizes he truly is now her reflection, and she loves him infinitely, ready to devour him. Now, she finally has the lover she craves, a mirror image. Exhausted, too exhausted to fight anymore, he opens his legs wider, and he feels her penis slide into the pinkness between his legs. As she asks, how did you enjoy sucking your own cock? As the realization that he now has her pussy, and she has his cock, dawns on him in growing horror, and then simply resignation. He begins the process of exploring his new body, realizing that from now on, it would be better to simply submit everything, assets, money, body, soul, all, to her. That he's utterly dependent on her now, and that for the moment he's a new plaything, that survival depends on being an amusing play toy. Later that day, two women step out into the Vegas sunlight, two beautiful clones. Heads turn, and in a town of beautiful women, they stand out, traffic nearly stopping. They get into a limo which takes them to their destination. When they arrive, one stays in the car, shy, still getting used to her new body, while the other one gets out, ready to have her nails done. Victoria steps out into the sunlight, a happy smile on her face, and looks around her, almost sniffing the air. And in doing so, she sees Vegas on a level that others don't see, and she likes what she sees. Ah, home sweet home. Home sweet home. Finally, a town that gets her, understands her, and it's as though the ghosts buried in the desert sand salute her and send a special red carpet gushing down the streets. She smiles, wider, brighter, ecstatic, feeling content. Ah, Vegas, the tough little town in the desert, the town that makes or breaks people, a true survivor of a town if there ever was one. And for a moment, the town looks at her, looks back at her, sizing her up. And the town sees her for what she really is. For a split second, the town, Vegas, Las Vegas, has seen and done it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, almost seems to shudder.